Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from Yes, We Will, a post-tribulation handbook to try to give you all the ins and outs of being a post-tribulationist, which I believe is the scriptural position, but of course there's a lot of differences on this. I have a section next called about Dave Hunt. Dave Hunt is deceased, and I believe while he was still living in 2011, I wrote a rejoinder to his ideas about this. We just finished Walvoord, Dr. Walvoord, who was very astute, and some of the Walvoord things are in the Dave Hunt things. Besides that, I already have this, if you're interested, online in that other book that I wrote called Caught Up, But When. You can look that up here at Sermon Audio, and you'll find this section about Dave Hunt in there. So I'm not going to read that again. I think it's very instructive, but again, some of it's repetitive, and it is online already if you're interested. We'll go right away then to Tim LaHaye. It's a short section here in the book about Tim LaHaye that you need to know about. We get into the movies now, but no study of the pre-tribulation rapture is complete without referring to the books and movies that were spawned by Tim LaHaye. But then it wouldn't be fair either not to mention the man that gave Tim a lot of his ideas and inspiration, namely Hal Lindsey. Lindsey's one-of-a-kind, at that time, prophecy book called The Late Great Planet Earth, you may have heard of it, was groundbreaking in many ways, but especially stood out as a work that assumed a pre-tribulation rapture. He was quick to admit that he was no prophet, but he still said a lot of things that no one had ever said, at least this effectively, regarding Israel, the one world government, Antichrist, and so on. He wasn't 100% correct, as the pre-trib notion will prove, but where Jesus said that this generation would not pass away until the end of history, Lindsey suggested strongly that 1948 was the date from which to start counting. And since, well, that was when Israel, the fig tree, blossomed after a sort. So you want to count a generation, which is, what, 40 years? So 1988 came and went, and another speculation and another history. But tons of young people, and 25 years later, LaHaye's left-behind messages followed Mr. Lindsey into some well-meant but very wrong theories. So, who was Tim LaHaye? Pardon me while I copy freely from Wikipedia. Tim LaHaye, Timothy Francis LaHaye, born 1926, died 2016, an American evangelical Christian minister, speaker, author, conservative activist, wrote more than 85 books, both fiction and nonfiction, and is best known for his Left Behind series of apocalyptic fiction, which he co-authored with Jerry B. Jenkins. LaHaye received a Bachelor of Arts from Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. LaHaye held the Doctor of Ministry degree from Western Seminar and a Doctor of Literature from Liberty University. He served as a pastor in Pumpkin Town, South Carolina, and after that he pastored a congregation in Minneapolis until 1956. After that, the LaHaye family moved to San Diego, where he served as pastor of the Scott Memorial Baptist Church, now called Shadow Mountain Community Church, for nearly 25 years. 1971, he founded Christian Heritage College, now known as San Diego Christian College. 1972, LaHaye helped establish the Institute for Creation Research at Christian Heritage College in El Cajon, California, Cajon, along with Henry Morris. It's all great stuff, by the way. He left behind, quote-unquote, quite a heritage. Seriously, good stuff. LaHaye is best known for the Left Behind series of apocalyptic fiction that depicts the Earth after the pre-tribulation rapture, which premillennial dispensationalists believe the Bible states multiple times will occur. The books were LaHaye's brainchild, though Jerry Jenkins, a former sports writer and numerous other works of fiction to his name, did the actual writing of the books from LaHaye's notes. Jenkins has said, "I write the best I can. I know I'm never going to be revered as some classic writer. I don't claim to be C.S. Lewis. The literary type writers, I admire them, I wish I was smart enough to write a book that's hard to read, you know. The series, which started in 1995 with the first novel, includes 12 titles in the adult series, as well as juvenile novels, audiobooks, devotionals, graphic novels. The books have been very popular, with total sales surpassing 65 million copies, and that was as of July 2016. 7 titles in the adult series have reached number 1 on the bestseller lists for the New York Times, USA Today, Publishers Weekly. Jerry Falwell said about the first book in the series, "In terms of its impact on Christianity, it's probably greater than that of any other book in modern times outside the Bible." The best-selling series has been compared to the equally popular works of Tom Clancy and Stephen King. The plotting is brisk and the characterizations are Manichaean. People disappear. Things blow up. Well, LaHaye indicates that the idea for the series came to him one day around 1994 while he was sitting on an airplane and observed a married pilot flirting with a flight attendant. He wondered what would befall the pilot if the rapture happened at that moment. The first book in the series opens with a similar scene. He sold the movie rights for the Left Behind series and later stated he regretted that decision because the films turned out to be church basement videos rather than a big budget blockbuster that he had hoped for. Nevertheless, the movies did quite well. There were 3 in the original series based on 2 of the first novels. And let's remember, they were novels, okay? Fiction. How often are moviegoers able to discern, as this is me talking now finally, what is true and what is not in a movie, even when the producers tell you it's only based on a true story? Have you ever seen Noah, the latest movie about Noah? Based on the Bible story, of course. It's awful. There were later attempts to reboot the movie story of Tim LaHaye using Hollywood favorite Nicolas Cage. Well, I'm going to leave those alone. My intent now is to show you how Tim LaHaye and company were able to teach a generation of Christians a series of ideas that led them to think a certain way about the future, and in so doing, led them astray, I believe. Many of those entertained people will be totally unprepared for what is really coming. Now, I didn't see the movies when they came out. That was in 2000, 2002, and 2005. Clips, maybe. I knew the theology, and I decided to let them go. But for this report, I had to go to the viewings. And today, that was August 24 of 2018, I was at the Skokie Public Library and watched all 3 videos. Let me tell you my impressions while they're still warm. Well, they're not warm now, but I'm going to read the warmth here. First, very effective. Great casting, good drama. I know the critics didn't like what they saw, but I was frankly impressed. And not with the biblical part, but with the human part. There was tenderness, there was love, compassion, real-life family situation, all very believable, good actors. Everything's fine, believable, except the main issue, the pre-tribulation rapture. Oh, they did it up big. Airplane flights suddenly missing passengers. Crashes down below, freeways tied up, a total chaotic world. Trouble with that was, of course, there is no such picture painted in Scripture. Now, at the Second Coming, which I believe you must know now, is the same as the rapture, there are indeed pictures of people on earth. Yes, they're crying for rocks to fall on them. They're hiding in caves. They're screaming for mercy. They see Jesus coming, and he's angry. But in those so-called rapture passages, there's nothing of that whatever. A meeting in the sky, evidently. No mention of things on earth. You see, when Jesus comes, it's quitting time. There's no more things as they are. A kingdom is set up in Jerusalem. Jesus is king over all the earth. And so the movie sets the table poorly. Total imagination. If we're talking about a time 7 years before the millennium, there's no scripture to build upon. So imagination is all that's left. But then, it's fiction. Another glaring omission is the fact that even in pre-trib thinking, the rapture is the time of the resurrection from the dead. And there's no such scene of resurrection portrayed in the movie. The dead are just forgotten altogether. Oh my. the movie, and I'm still on the first one here, then moves on to the tribulation itself. A few possible facts mixed in with a whole lot of fantasy. There's a talk about a one-world currency. There's the rise to power of Antichrist, so the scripture teaches he'll be a resurrected figure, at least a resurrected, assassinated figure. But there's no such depiction of that in the movie. The rapture is eventually considered to be the cause of the rise of this man of sin. A convenient plot addition, for sure. A new temple is being offered the Jews. World peace is being sought by all concerned. World hunger is addressed as a means of uniting people. The sinister Antichrist is also a likable man who knows how to control people naturally and even supernaturally. All children are gone, raptured. No age limit is mentioned. The pastor who is left behind prays earnestly for one more chance. Really? Jesus has come and you're praying for one more chance. What happened to, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment? If more chances are out there, maybe purgatory is not such an alien idea after all, Mr. LaHaye? And is it possible that many thousands of people are banking on that second chance as they cool off in their devotion to Christ? Are we sure that pre-trib is a healthy way to live the Christ life? Ezekiel 38, which could well describe a battle after the millennium, is brought in here as a real threat during the tribulation. Movie 1 ends with the prediction that the next 7 years are going to be the world's worst. But the book of Revelation talks of only 3.5 years like that. All right, let's go to movie 2. It's called Tribulation Force. The Christians decide to fight back. By mostly spiritual means, but not all spiritual. The two witnesses of Revelation are introduced in the first half of that seven-year period. But if you read Revelation 11, I think you'll concur that their ministry was in the actual tribulation, which is the second half of the 7 years. And then a bit far-fetched is the notion that the reporter, who is the star of the series, is sent to help the two witnesses. Oh, as though Moses and Elijah need an assist from a CNN reporter. It's called GNN in the movie, but we know. Also out of character in this second movie is the idea that saved people will deliberately lie about whatever to be able to infiltrate Antichrist holdings, somehow assist the Christians. The story from the Bible is a bit more bleak. Christians are massacred by the Antichrist. Meanwhile, a very effective romantic story is woven into the episode, making you want to believe the rest of the tale, or at least making your exposure to biblical non-truths enjoyable. The theory that Antichrist will claim to be the Jewish Messiah is pushed in the movie, but in the movie, his plan is thwarted by the last-minute conversion of the great Jewish scholar, made up, Ben Judah, who announces to the world on live TV that Jesus is that Messiah. Now that is a real stretch. And who sets up the conversion? You guessed it, Buck, the reporter from GNN. An especially difficult scene shows Buck and a couple of others evading the guard of the now restricted Wailing Wall, where the two prophets have been hanging out. They do it by means of an angel who is singing Amazing Grace. Yeah, that is what happened in the movie. Israeli Ben Judah, just about to claim messiahship for the Antichrist, gets preached to by the two witnesses, who quote John 3:16 and other passages. Okay. And those two were the good videos, the first two movies. Things start to go the other way, even faster, on movie 3 called World at War. Here you've got Hollywood star African-American Lou Gossett Jr. He's now the president of the United States. That was just 3 years before Mr. Obama, the first truly black president, became president in real life. The Antichrist is stepping things up a bit. Anthrax attacks, bombing countries. America is next. Gossett must do something. He tries to kill the Antichrist. Yeah, the president tries to kill the Antichrist. But the man can't be killed, we find out. Our reporter hero, who's a bit like Luke Skywalker or Robin Hood, shows up in D.C. now to witness to the president, who seems to have a kind of a conversion experience, though it sounds more like a desperation prayer for wisdom on how to defeat the Antichrist, which he gets. He blows up the U.N. building, killing himself, but not the man of sin. So much fantasy in one day. My head is spinning with it as I write this, and several months ago. And I got to thinking, if it hadn't been for that initial vanishing scene, this would have been a fiction thriller about what Christians will do in the tribulation. Because from the first time we see these tribulation saints, they're doing everything Christians do. There are church meetings, there's prayer, there's repentance, there's gospel witnessing, love of the scriptures, lots of faith and love. Why can't we call them the church? The rapture part fades in the memory after a while as you're watching the movies. One just settles down to be entertained. But the seed's planted. And people everywhere believed what they saw subconsciously. Ask most evangelicals in America what they believe about the future troubles, and they will almost smugly tell you, "Well, I'm not worried. I'm out of here." Such is the power of the cinema in our nation. Okay, that's not the end of the book, but oh my, we are very close. I see, two or three more times we'll come together. The next time, the next section's called Bits and Pieces. I don't want to leave anything out. So I've just got a whole bunch of other little things I want you to see about pre-trib versus post-trib, and I hope you'll join me then. Thank you so much for being here, as always. There's a lot of other stuff on my website. I do hope you'll go looking around for it. God bless you. We'll talk soon. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Bye-bye.